face to cheer on his team but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. Wind advisory goes into effect at 12 noon today. Temperatures are going to fall from the upper 50s to about 40 by the end of the day. We have a chance of a shower this morning and this afternoon. And tonight it's going to get all the way down to 22 degrees. It's 8 o'clock.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Super Bowl. Super finish.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Snow blitzes northeast.
I'm a little sick of it right now. There's snow everywhere.
Food for infants and toddlers.
Packed with too much salt and sugar.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A wild, stunning finish at the Super Bowl.
Yes!
Turning agony into championship ecstasy for fans of the New England Patriots.
I completely thought we were going to lose the game. Absolutely unbelievable.
I'm feeling awesome. I can't believe this happened.
What happened was a thrilling 28-24 win by the Patriots over the Seattle Seahawks, the team's fourth Super Bowl title in 14 years. CBS's Steve Futterman was at the game.
In the end, Super Bowl 49 came down to one remarkable play. With 20 seconds left in the game, the Seattle Seahawks were at the one-yard line, 1 yard away from winning the game, when something went wrong.
It's intercepted at the goal line! It's intercepted by Malcolm Butler!
Everyone expected Seattle to run the ball. Instead, the Seahawks chose to throw it, and it was intercepted by the Patriots. New England quarterback Tom Brady was watching on the sideline.
I saw the interception. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just an incredible play.
The player who intercepted the ball, Malcolm Butler, a rookie, had never picked off a pass in his career. New England coach Bill Belichick knew how close his team was to losing.
The game couldn't have been any closer than what it was. They're a great football team that, you know, was within a yard or so, or a few seconds, however you want to look at it, of winning a second title.
The man who threw the interception, Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson, took the blame.
I put the blame on me because I'm the one that, you know, gave him the ball.
And for the Patriot fans, many were pinching themselves.
The interception was amazing.
Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona.
And CBS's Peter King tells us fans and advertising gurus are weighing in with their winners and losers of the commercials during the long Super Bowl broadcast.
The Super Bowl ads included a cross-section. Of course, there was humor.
Hey, Ralph, can I have a Doritos?
Sure, when pigs fly.
But heartstrings and serious messages seemed to rule the night. Budweiser's Lost Dog won USA Today's Ad Meter competition.
When I wake up...
USA Today's Laura Petreca.
You really felt emotional about the horses. You felt emotional about the dog. And then they used another technique, which really helped out as well, which is great music.
The messages included some that smashed stereotypes.
Show me what it looks like to fight like a girl.
That from Procter & Gamble. This from Toyota.
Being a dad is more than being a father.
And Nationwide lit up social media with a message that many felt was simply too morbid for the Super Bowl.
I couldn't grow up. Because I died from an accident.
Peter King, CBS News.
A powerful winter storm has dumped lots of snow, ice, and misery from the Midwest.
It's way, way too much snow. Way, way too long.
Now into the Northeast.
If you don't need to be out, stay in.
More than 2,300 flights have been canceled today. This comes a week after eastern New England got 2 feet of snow.
People are just beyond trying to shovel out cars, and it's really bad because they're like, they don't know where to put the snow.
CBS's Michelle Miller is in Boston.
This storm is expected to dump another foot on top of the 25 inches they've already seen. Schools are closed. Commuters are being urged to take public transportation. Coastal towns, they're expecting freezing rain and wind gusts of up to 35 miles an hour.
You're listening to the Monday Morning World News Roundup, and it's 4 minutes after the hour.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
This morning on WCHL, Orange County commissioners say a $125 million bond package may be the best way to fund repairs for aging schools.
I don't think we've got an option. We've got schools that are 50, 60 years old.
Planning for and managing growth is top priority for Hillsborough town leaders. And Google Fiber is coming to the Triangle, and everybody knows that, but it's not coming to Hillsborough. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carpet Road traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the North Carolina men's basketball team takes on the second-ranked Virginia Cavaliers at the Dean Smith Center tonight. And everybody's going to be talking about yesterday's Super Bowl for a very, very long time. And
an amazing ending to an amazing sports weekend.
That's this morning in Archansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
53 degrees this morning and a little wet out there after overnight rain. 8:05 at WCHL. Going up to the upper 50s today, and then temperatures will start to fall. In fact, by the end of the afternoon, it'll be about 40 degrees. We have a wind advisory which kicks in at 12 noon today. Wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour this afternoon and tonight. And tonight's low temperature in the low 20s. Orange County commissioners say a $125 million bond package may be the best way to fund repairs for aging schools. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more details.
Orange County commissioners agree there's no question local schools need money for repairs.
I don't see where we have an option on the needs of the schools. I don't think we've got an option. We've got schools that are 50, 60 years old.
That's Board Chair Earl McKee speaking at a planning retreat last week. The Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County school systems have compiled a list of capital projects totaling more than $330 million to repair or replace outdated facilities and expand some schools to add capacity. Commissioners last week moved closer to putting a bond referendum on the ballot that would partially fund those repairs, though the board did not formally vote at the retreat. The proposed $125 million bond package would be the largest in Orange County history and the first since voters approved a $75 million package back in 2001. Commissioners and staffers discussed the pros and cons of using pay-as-you-go funding for the repairs instead. But Commissioner Barry Jacobs said a successful bond package would represent voter support and a firm commitment from the board.
If we've already told the voters, this is what we want you to do, and they say yes, then you've made a different level of commitment. In a way, you box yourself in, but in a way, you hopefully have some more buy-in than would normally be the case.
Deputy Finance Director Paul Lawton told the board both funding methods would likely result in a tax rate hike, as there's not enough projected growth in revenues to cover the debt service on either type of borrowing. Lawton estimated the bond package would ultimately translate to a 4.6-cent increase on the property tax rate, to be spread out over the course of several years. While commissioners indicated they're ready to move forward with planning for the referendum, some expressed concern that Chapel Hill voters in particular might not warm to the idea, as the town is considering its own bond referendum in 2015. Commissioner Renee Price said she's worried about voter fatigue.
There could be so much confusion, and we either win or we all lose. I just wanted to throw that out there, that I really think we need to get all players at the table on this.
Commissioners said if they do go ahead, they want more collaboration and support from both school districts. Here's Mark Dorson.
The relationship should be more than just, we need this money, we'll give you that money, and here's how we're going to figure it out. Obviously, there's two separate elected bodies, and they have two separate elected responsibilities. There should be more engagement on that.
The scheduling of any future bond package would be constrained by a recent decision from the legislature limiting county referendums to even number years. Commissioners are leaning toward a November referendum because, as Board of Elections Director Tracy Reams pointed out, the 2016 primary season could get complicated.
The North Carolina presidential primary is all dependent upon the South Carolina primary. If they hold theirs prior to March the 15th, we have to follow and hold ours a week after theirs. So we could feasibly have a February 16th possible presidential preference primary. Then we'll hold all the other primaries on May the 3rd.
Though commissioners say schools would be the primary funding focus, the bond package would also likely include money for affordable housing projects and possibly parks. Following a formal vote to move forward with referendum planning in February, commissioners will likely convene a task force of residents and elected officials to work out exactly what goes on the ballot in November 2016. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Google Fiber is coming to the Triangle. Everybody knows that. There has been a lot of excitement about that announcement. But Hillsborough doesn't have anything to be excited about with Google Fiber. In response to questions following last week's announcement from Google, the town of Hillsborough on Friday released a statement reminding everyone that Hillsborough is not one of the communities included in the program. Google Fiber will be coming to Chapel Hill and Carrboro, as well as Raleigh, Durham, Cary, Garner, and Morrisville, but not Hillsborough. For the full statement from the town of Hillsborough, you can visit WCHL's website at chapelborough.com. Planning for and managing growth is a top priority for Hillsborough town leaders. With major development plans in the pipeline, WCHL's Blake Hodge has more on how some of these projects will get funded.
Hillsborough officials have big plans for the small historic town. You can see the full scope of their ideas in the Vision 2030 document, one of the major talking points during the public input sessions over this development project was the construction of a train station. Mayor Tom Stevens says he is very pleased that the state has placed a priority on funding that train station with money earmarked from the government in 2019.
The state transportation plan goes out, it looks at 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. But 5 years means it's pretty well funded and it's very solid.
The remaining funding needed for the construction of that station would be coming from the half-cent sales tax increase in Hillsborough that was approved by voters in 2012. Mayor Stevens adds that Hillsborough has several major projects listed out in the state transportation plan.
One of those is for the rail station. One of those is for South Churton Street, which is the area that would be leading into the rail station. And then one of them is a connection from Orange Grove Road that would go through that area to Highway 70. And so all three of those are very important for the development of this center part of town.
He adds that it is crucial that the timeline is such that the town can count on those funds from the state.
It's amazing to me sometimes how long it takes for these plans. It's in terms of decades, not years, but it is very, very exciting news. It is now about as definite as DOT can be about things in the future.
While the public input for the Vision 2030 development project closed in January, you can still view the full plan through a link on our website, chapelborough.com. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
All this month, Chapel Hill Police will continue monitoring specific streets and crosswalks throughout town as part of its ongoing initiative to promote pedestrian and bicycle safety. On Wednesday of this week, from 8:45 until 9:45 in the morning, officers will be near campus monitoring the area around Country Club Road, Boundary Street, and Battle Lane. On Thursday at that same time, officers will be posted on Columbia Street at the UNC Health Sciences Building. Next Tuesday, February 10th, a week from tomorrow, officers will monitor South Columbia Street between Franklin Street and Cameron Avenue, also from 8:45 to 9:45 a.m. Then on Tuesday, the 24th, from 7:30 until 8:30 a.m., officers will be stationed on Raleigh Road at Glen Lennox. It's all to make sure drivers, bicycle riders, and pedestrians are following the rules of the road, especially around crosswalks. Officers may cite violations, including drivers who don't yield to pedestrians in the crosswalk or pedestrians who cross against the signals. Fines and court costs for those violations may cost you more than $200. Those police patrols are part of a much larger initiative the town is undertaking to promote bicycle and pedestrian safety. If you'd like more information on how to stay safe on the roads, visit a link on our website, chapelborough.com, and visit our website also for a link to a page where you can share your concerns about bike and pedestrian safety with the leaders of the town of Chapel Hill. WCHL News Time, 8:13. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Now here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. 40 eastbound, beginning to fill up into RTP, but it looks pretty good so far from 86 out to 540. Fordham Boulevard, though, crowded in both directions between 54 and Mason Farm Road. 54 eastbound, expect some heavy traffic as well as you approach the 40 access. Got an accident clearing in Durham, 54 at 55, and northbound Durham Freeway saw some brake lights showing up between Alexander Drive and Austin Avenue. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
I know you love getting those calls back there.
And the tweets.
Yeah, tweet. Absolutely. Right. Diddle, 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 diddle.
I knew it was going to get into a song, so I brought it up.
Traffic has been brought to you by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. You can fuel up each morning with Cruiser's Fresh Brewed Beans Cafe Coffee, but also Cruiser's has great fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at 34 degrees over their famous chewy ice. Guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents at Cruiser's. Good to go. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, it looks like this. It is 53 degrees. A wind advisory goes into effect at noon today and will last until 7 o'clock tonight. It's going to be cloudy today. A possibility of some showers this morning and then partly sunny with a slight chance of rain in the afternoon as well. Windy. Strong wind gust up to 30 miles per hour. We'll get up to about 57 or 58 degrees probably shortly after lunchtime. And then the temperatures will start to fall and we'll go all the way down to about 40 by the end of the afternoon. Tonight, clear, much colder with lows in the low 20s. Some strong winds continuing. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, still cooler, with a high only in the middle 40s. Orange County Agricultural Summit, the 17th annual event, will be held on February 16th from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. That is 2 weeks from today. To register, visit orangecountync.gov.
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
News around town this morning. This year, 2015, will bring another round of budget talks in the General Assembly. What does that mean for our local schools? Well, it's hard to tell. Head to North Carolina Central University tomorrow for a discussion called The Economics of Education, What We Owe Our Children and Our Nation. It's presented by the Orange-Durham-Chatham League of Women Voters in conjunction with the North Carolina Central School of Education. Featured speakers include Chapel Hill Carborough City School Superintendent Tom Forsella and Orange County Interim Superintendent Dell Burns, along with the superintendents in Chatham and Durham schools as well. The discussion is free. It's open to the public. It's tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock at the School of Education Auditorium in the H.M. Michaud Building at North Carolina Central. And marking the start of Black History Month, UNC will host lifelong activist Benjamin Chavis Jr. for the second annual Bobby Boyd Leadership Lecture tomorrow. Chavis was the leader of the so-called Wilmington 10, who were convicted of firebombing a grocery store in 1971 in a trial marred by racism and misconduct. Freed in 1980 after his conviction was overturned, Chavis went on to become executive director of the NAACP, national director of the Million Man March, and founder of the National African American Leadership Summit, among many other things. His lecture will be on freedom fighting. It'll take place in the Tate Turner Corral Building in the UNC School of Social Work on Pittsburgh Street tomorrow, starting at 5:30 p.m. It is free and open to the public. 817 WCHL Championship Sports now. Let's talk about the Super Bowl for just a moment here. Everybody watching it, and what a way that it came down to the end. Tom Brady won his record-tying third Super Bowl MVP award and fourth Lombardi Trophy. Brady completed 37 of 50 passes for 328 yards with four touchdowns, each to a different receiver, and two interceptions. Patriots trailed 24-14 at the fourth quarter before Brady connected with Danny Amendola for a four-yard touchdown pass with about 7:55 left. He then hit Julian Edelman with 2:02 left on a three-yard touchdown for the winning score. And what a winning drive it was. But there was to be another winning drive on the other side. Seahawks went all the way downfield, got to the one-yard line with just under 30 seconds to go. And inexplicably for a lot of folks, threw the football. It was intercepted. Game over, pretty much, after the Patriots ran out the clock. Seattle Seahawks just one way away from being the first team to repeat as NFL champion since New England 10 years ago. That interception doomed that dream. Seahawks decided against using star running back Marshawn Lynch to run the ball from 1 yard out, instead called a pass play. It was intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Patriots were able to run out the clock. There's nobody to blame but me, according to Seahawks coach Pete Carroll. He explained that the Patriots had gone with their jumbo goal line defense. He thought a pass play would work. Well, obviously it didn't. Marshawn Lynch just wishes he had had the opportunity to run the football in that chance. A lot of Seahawks fans are saying exactly the same thing. Well, let's talk about Carolina men's basketball. Big game coming up tonight. Tar Heels ranked number 13 in the country, 17-5 overall, 7-2 in ACC play. Coming off a loss in the Smith Center, the league-leading second-ranked Virginia Cavaliers come to town Cavaliers didn't lose until this weekend when they had a setback against Duke. What a game this is going to be. Carolina and Virginia. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a preview.
We talked about trying not to turn the basketball over and give them openings. We tried to talk about not fouling, and we put them online 44 times. It's like we played at Kentucky. We shot 13 free throws, and they shot 31. Today, we shot 20, and they shot 44. And in both cases, I'm not talking about the officials. We made the fouls, and they should not have done that. And the other thing we talked about was doing a great job on the backboards, and they got 17 points on offensive rebounds in the second half. So poor job of playing, worst job of coaching.
That was UNC head coach Roy Williams. Coming off a brutal loss at the hands of the Louisville Cardinals Saturday, Carolina has no time to mourn the 18-point second-half lead it let slip away. Such is life in the ACC. A new opponent and a fresh challenge awaits the Tar Heels Monday night. In a two-game and 48-hour stretch UNC is getting used to this season. Carolina's opponent, Virginia, can empathize with UNC's predicament. The Cavaliers will need to move on quickly themselves from an energy-sapping home court loss to the Duke Blue Devils Saturday night that ended their pursuit at perfection. Coach Williams, meanwhile, will be preaching toughness in his pregame locker room speech. UNC miserably lost in that department against the more physical and aggressive Cardinals, who emphatically out-rebounded, out-hustled, and out-manned the reeling Tar Heels. Coach Williams, though, is taking the blame.
That shows you something, how much Louisville wanted the basketball, and I hate to say this, but I've done a poor job of coaching because they evidently wanted the basketball and were tougher about it than I was.
Luckily for UNC, it appears Marcus Page merely rolled his ankle Saturday in the KFC Yum Center, so the junior guard should be good to go against Virginia. Page, who's shooting 45.5% from three-point range in ACC play, says he's eager to wipe the sour taste out of his mouth.
I think so. I'd like to play. I'd rather play games than practice any day, so I'm excited for the challenge that Virginia is going to bring to our gym.
It's still unclear whether freshman guard Joel Berry will see action in the Dean Dome against the Cavaliers, although Coach Williams says he's doubtful. The methodical Cavaliers, led by head coach Tony Bennett, will hope to slow down the proceedings to a snail's crawl, while the Tar Heels will attempt to run the show at warp speed. It provides an intriguing contrast in styles. The Tar Heels lead the head-to-head series with the Cavaliers 128-51, but came up short in their most recent meeting, a 76-61 victory for UVA in Charlottesville a season ago. UNC junior forward Bryce Johnson got into foul trouble early at Louisville. Needless to say, it took him out of his game. Johnson says he's ready to make amends.
We knew they'd put up a fight. I mean, they ended up fighting and they ended up winning. So, I mean, we just got to be ready to compete a little bit better. I mean, just myself personally, I should have played the way I did. And I mean, just got to be ready for the next one.
Which team will best respond to weekend adversity Monday night? Everything is still on the line. With a win, the Cavaliers would put distance between themselves and the rest of the ACC pack. A Tar Heel victory would catapult UNC into a tie for the conference lead. Despite the bitterness of recent defeats, for one school, the Smith Center will serve as the perfect rehabilitation center. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Of course, we'll have a game for you right here on WCHL. Greg Barnes of Inside Carolina joins us now. And Greg, I know that Roy keeps talking about his team's lack of toughness, and seems like that was going in one direction, and now the same old thing has reared its ugly head. And the number of fouls called on Carolina over the weekend made it tough. Virginia, on the other hand, comes in here after losing to Duke, so something's got to give tonight. How do you see this game tonight shaping up?
Yeah, I think you make a great point there about the toughness aspect. I mean, watching that Duke-Virginia game, Virginia's an incredible team, very efficient offensively and on the defensive end. They were up, close to 10 late in that game, and Duke got hot from three. I think they hit six or last eight threes to pull that victory out. So Virginia's going to be a tough test for UNC. The Tar Heels, I do think foul trouble played a role. They got up by 18. And then they started playing a little bit timid. They had so many fouls pile up, they couldn't be as aggressive. Louisville capitalized on that. It kind of snowballed from there. And UNC was just not tough enough, didn't have the poise down the stretch to get the job done. And so they were still stinging from that loss.
One of the things that makes tonight's game so interesting is that it's a game of contrasts. Virginia makes everybody look ugly, but wins a lot of basketball games. Carolina, on the other hand, likes to run up and down the court, fast-paced game. This game tonight might end up being 54-53 or something like that. Will Carolina be able to impose its will on this very tough Virginia team?
Yeah, and you know, what Virginia will do and what they've done since Tony Bennett has been in Charlottesville is that whenever a shot goes up, they send two guys back. And that immediately eliminates UNC's ability to get out in transition. The key for North Carolina is to not allow Virginia to get in transition. You know, North Carolina's had a ton of turnovers recently. They had 19 on Saturday, had 20 a few games before. You cannot do that against Virginia because they will capitalize. If you give them easy buckets while not having any of your own, that makes it really tough to beat this team. So they're going to have to be smart. They're going to have to be very efficient. And they've got the length defensively to bother what Virginia does. So those are kind of the key components for North Carolina to win. They can win, especially with a guy like Marcus Paige leading the show, but they've got to be on their P's and Q's.
Which team tonight, Greg Barnes, will be able to avoid two losses in a row?
I think it's going to be very tough for North Carolina to win this game, as well as Virginia's playing. Coming off that loss Saturday, North Carolina was really defeated after the game. So the quick turnaround, it's a tough game to bounce back from. Virginia, of course, I think the way they lost their game, they're going to be fired up. So I think Virginia has the edge. But Marcus Paige, he was very determined, very upset after that game, very angry. That's what you like to see. So if he comes out and has a really good game, North Carolina could get it done.
Well, Greg, I appreciate your insights. It's always good to talk to you.
All right, thanks, Ron.
Greg Barnes, InsideCarolina.com. You can go there and read all kinds of things that Greg has to write and see what everybody has to say there as well. Good news for the Carolina women over the weekend on Super Bowl Sunday. Carolina defeated Boston College 72-60 in Carmichael Arena on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
An amazing ending to an amazing sports weekend. This is Archansky with Monday Sports Notebook. I guess you can say it began in the desert and ended in the desert, with Tiger Woods claiming to be back in top form, shooting an 82 at the Phoenix Open and missing the cut. That was the highest score Woods has ever shot in a pro tournament. And it ended only a few miles away late Sunday when a miraculous goal line interception kept New England from losing the lead in their third straight Super Bowl on a long fluke pass play in the closing minutes. In between with three ACC basketball games Saturday that all had hard-to-believe finishes and sets up one tonight in Chapel Hill that promises to be as much of a fight as a sporting event. First, NC State blew another big lead and looked like a loser again when Georgia Tech missed two free throws with a two-point lead, and then the Wolfpack's Trevor Lacy hit a long three-pointer at the buzzer to pull out the victory. After that came the tale of two halves, with UNC dominating Louisville in the first half and then getting, in the words of Roy Williams, their butts kicked in the second half on the way to an overtime loss when the Tar Heels faded from fatigue, fight, and foul trouble to snap their six-game winning streak and a shot to take over first place in the ACC in the next game. That was made possible by undefeated Virginia going down to Duke in the last 5 minutes after completely controlling the Blue Devils until then and leading by as many as 11 points. Duke, which had not hit anything from outside 12 feet the entire game, began draining long three-pointers while the stunned Cavaliers were outscored 11-0 at the end and lost their undefeated season. That game sets up a battle tonight between two angry teams that lost big leads and are trying to hold on to their place in the ACC standings. Carolina looked exhausted at the end of the Louisville debacle and need a quick turnaround to be ready for a hard-to-defend and hard-to-score on Virginia team. The Heels committed more fouls, 33, than in any game Williams has coached here, and after losing Bryce Johnson and Isaiah Hicks on fouls, a bruised and battered Carolina had almost nothing left in the tank to stop the Cardinals' comeback. It was a bad loss in the way it happened, and I'm sure Virginia feels the same way. Call it a dogfight, a street fight, or just one intense basketball game, but you are guaranteed to see it this evening. This is Archansky. See ya.
WCHL Championship Sports brought to you by Geico.
Right now, you're thinking about the car in front of you that left its blinker on. Blink, 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 blink for the last 5 miles. Well, snap out of it, because what you should be thinking about is switching to Geico and saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance. You can access Geico online, over the phone, or even on the mobile app, and it's so easy you can do it in the blink of an eye. See what I did there?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com today.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates.
With the busy spring market just around the corner, it's time to think about getting your house ready for sale and selecting a realtor to sell it. Let my 29 years of home selling experience benefit you. Call today at 919-933-8500 or see us online at TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Tar Heel fans, Cruisers Convenience Marketplace wants to give you two tickets and a VIP experience to the Carolina Duke game at the Smith Center on March 7th. One lucky winner will receive two tickets to the big game, a pregame reception, photos on the court, and more. To enter, sign up for or use the ExxonMobil Smart Card at any Cruisers location between now and February 24th. Details and more ways to enter at cruisers.net/Smith Center.
Happy Valentine's Day from Chatelaine's. Whether you've only been on a couple of dates or you've been married for years, you cannot afford to mess this up. Don't worry, I'm great at playing Cupid. Chatelaine's has jewelry for every budget and every occasion. Need to say you're sorry? I've got that. Wish to convey how much she means to you, but have no words? I'm yours. Diamonds priced at wholesale, and there's not even a chance of ordinary. Have your cake and eat it too at Chatelaine's, located in historic Carmel.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 52 degrees. Wind advisory goes into effect at 12 noon today. We're going to have some really strong wind gusts later on in the day, up to 30 miles per hour. But today, cloudy with showers possible this morning and in the afternoon. Partly sunny this afternoon. Windy, as I mentioned. High today in the upper 50s, and then temperatures will fall to around 40 by the end of the day. Now, tonight, those winds will continue. Clear, much colder with lows in the low 20s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, still cool. Our high tomorrow, about 45 degrees.
97.9 FM, WCHL is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
CBS News Update. I'm Gary Nahn. A heart-stopping finish punctuated New England's 28-24 Super Bowl victory over Seattle. 26 seconds left in the game. The Seahawks' Russell Wilson chose not to run the ball.
There's the snap. It's felt high. Quick throw. It's intercepted at the goal line. It's intercepted by Malcolm Butler.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One Sports. Butler reflecting on CBS this morning.
I was expecting them to run, but I just drove on the ball, made a play because I know we needed it. And I felt like if we would have lost the game, it would have been my fault, even though I gave him my best effort.
Bill Belichick has coached the Patriots to 6 Super Bowls.
The game couldn't have been any closer than what it was. They're a great football team that, you know, was within a yard or so or a few seconds, however you want to look at it, of winning a second title.
A sweet victory for this Patriots fan.
Garbage talk that's been going on all week about them, all the blatant and all that. I just really wanted them to win.
Tom Brady of the Pats was the MVP. CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nunn.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
53 degrees in Chapel Hill, 832 WCHL. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Orange County commissioners say a $125 million bond package may be the best way, could be the only way, to fund repairs for aging schools. And we have a lot of them in Orange County. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
Orange County commissioners agree there's no question local schools need money for repairs.
I don't see where we have an option on the needs of the schools. I don't think we've got an option. We've got schools that are 50, 60 years old.
That's Board Chair Earl McKee speaking at a planning retreat last week. The Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County school systems have compiled a list of capital projects totaling more than $330 million to repair or replace outdated facilities and expand some schools to add capacity. Commissioners last week moved closer to putting a bond referendum on the ballot that would partially fund those repairs, though the board did not formally vote at the retreat. The proposed $125 million bond package would be the largest in Orange County history and the first since voters approved a $75 million package back in 2001. Commissioners and staffers discussed the pros and cons of using pay-as-you-go funding for the repairs instead. But Commissioner Barry Jacobs said a successful bond package would represent voter support and a firm commitment from the board.
If we've already told the voters, this is what we want you to do, and they say yes, then you've made a different level of commitment. In a way, you box yourself in, but in a way, you hopefully have some more buy-in than would normally be the case.
Deputy Finance Director Paul Lawton told the board both funding methods would likely result in a tax rate hike, as there's not enough projected growth in revenues to cover the debt service on either type of borrowing. Lawton estimated the bond package would ultimately translate to a 4.6-cent increase on the property tax rate, to be spread out over the course of several years. While commissioners indicated they're ready to move forward with planning for the referendum, some expressed concern that Chapel Hill voters in particular might not warm to the idea, as the town is considering its own bond referendum in 2015. Commissioner Renee Price said she's worried about voter fatigue.
There could be so much confusion, and we either win or we all lose. I just wanted to throw that out there, that I really think we need to get all players at the table on this.
Commissioners said if they do go ahead, they want more collaboration and support from both school districts. Here's Mark Dorson.
The relationship should be more than just, we need this money, we'll give you that money, and here's how we're going to figure it out. Obviously, there's two separate elected bodies, and they have two separate elected responsibilities. There should be more engagement on that.
The scheduling of any future bond package would be constrained by a recent decision from the legislature limiting county referendums to even-number years. Commissioners are leaning toward a November referendum because, as Board of Elections Director Tracy Reams pointed out, the 2016 primary season could get complicated.
The North Carolina presidential primary is all dependent upon the South Carolina primary. If they hold theirs prior to March the 15th, we have to follow and hold ours a week after theirs. So we could feasibly have a February 16th possible presidential preference primary. Then we'll hold all the other primaries on May the 3rd.
Though commissioners say schools would be the primary funding focus, the bond package would also likely include money for affordable housing projects and possibly parks. Following a formal vote to move forward with referendum planning in February, commissioners will likely convene a task force of residents and elected officials to work out exactly what goes on the ballot in November 2016. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A lot of excitement in our community and indeed all over the Triangle last week when Google Fiber announced it's coming here, but it's not coming to Hillsborough. And in response to questions following last week's announcement from Google, the town of Hillsborough on Friday released a statement reminding everyone that Hillsborough is not on the list. Google Fiber will be coming to Chapel Hill and Carrboro, as well as Raleigh, Durham, Cary, Garner, and Morrisville, but not Hillsborough. For the full statement, you can visit WCHL's website, chapelborough.com. Planning for and managing growth is a top priority for Hillsborough town leaders, with major development plans in the works. WCHL's Blake Hodge has more on how some of these projects will be funded.
Hillsborough officials have big plans for the small historic town. You can see the full scope of their ideas in the Vision 2030 document, one of the major talking points during the public input sessions over this development project was the construction of a train station. Mayor Tom Stevens says he is very pleased that the state has placed a priority on funding that train station with money earmarked from the government in 2019.
The state transportation plan goes out, it looks at 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, but 5 years means it's pretty well funded and it's very solid.
The remaining funding needed for the construction of that station would be coming from the half-cent sales tax increase in Hillsborough that was approved by voters in 2012. Mayor Stevens adds that Hillsborough has several major projects listed out in the state transportation plan.
One of those is for the rail station. One of those is for South Churton Street, which is the area that would be leading into the rail station. And then one of them is a connection from Orange Grove Road that would go through that area to Highway 70. And so all three of those are very important for the development of this center part of town.
He adds that it is crucial that the timeline is such that the town can count on those funds from the state.
It's amazing to me sometimes how long it takes for these plans. It's in terms of decades, not years, but it is very, very exciting news. It is now about as definite as DOT can be about things in the future.
While the public input for the Vision 2030 development project closed in January, you can still view the full plan through a link on our website, chapelborough.com. Blake Hodge, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 8:38. Jeff Neiman has today's commentary coming up next. He wants to know, what is the reason for President Ross's transition? That's on the way next.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Looking for a classic village lifestyle plus a sophisticated new home? Visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore, just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Not only does Winmore offer a pool, playground, trails, and open space, your children can walk to Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School. The UNC bus route stops at Winmore, right near Town Center, too. Stanley Martin Homes offers the best in energy efficiency and a choice of three beautiful designs at Winmore, starting in the 370s. Go see them or go to stanleymartin.com.
Now's the time to register for your chance to be part of our 5th Annual Healthiest You Challenge. Join WCHL and Chapelboro, along with UNC Healthcare and UNC Wellness Centers, as we help another 64 challengers on their journey to an active and healthy lifestyle. Visit chapelboro.com/healthiestyou now to submit your registration by February 11th. We'll randomly select our 64 challengers who will each get a free 6-week club membership at UNC Wellness Centers, along with group coaching, progress monitoring, access to health education programs, and more. At the end of the challenge, winners will get a 1-year membership to UNC Wellness Centers. So visit chapelboro.com for more details and to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, UNC Healthcare, UNC Wellness Centers at Metamont and in Cary, Chapel Hill Gymnastics, Coleman Huntoon and Brown, Durham Orange County Medical Society, Jersey Mike's, North Carolina Academy of Physician Assistants, and the UPS stores of Chapel Hill. Enter online at chapelboro.com by February 11th. Here's to the healthiest you in 2015. And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Jeff Neiman. As a former member of the UNC Board of Governors and proud alumnus of three of UNC's member institutions, the news of UNC President Tom Ross's transition left me, and everyone else apparently, with a lot of questions. One thing seems clear. This was not President Ross's decision. He made it clear what he had no plans to leave anytime soon. The president serves at the pleasure of the BOG, and so it is completely the board's prerogative to hire and fire the president. In fact, pretty much the most important thing it does. So the question is, why? I listened, like many of you, and watched the president's press conference with board chairman John Fenebresque a couple of times, and the chairman certainly didn't provide any answers to that question. He opened with the statement, "This board believes Tom Ross has been a wonderful president, fantastic work ethic, perfect integrity, and worked well with our board." Okay, maybe it had something to do with Ross's age. Not according to Fenebresque. Age had nothing to do with this, full stop. President Ross has our complete confidence. Well, the athletic academic scandal at UNC Chapel Hill has gotten a lot of news. Maybe that's the reason. Fenebresque said, "Absolutely not. President Ross has handled that situation in exemplary fashion, and I have been with him all the way." Well, perhaps privately, some members are unhappy with the president. Ross said, "I've had no one express dissatisfaction." Well then, how about politics? Once again, the chairman said, "Absolutely not." When Ross was asked if he believed politics played a role in his transition, he said, "I think the board is committed to this university. I think they'll remain committed to this university." Wait, huh? I don't mean this as a criticism of the president, and I completely understand why he did it, but that was a pretty illuminating dodge of that question. So, did politics play a role in the decision? I'll have more on that in a later commentary. This is Jeff Neiman.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full. Here is Nikki Morse.
Well, Ron, looks like everybody's getting a little bit of a late start this morning. And it's probably because they stayed up pretty late to watch the Super Bowl or what a disappointing bowl or whatever you want to call it. Anyway.
If you're a Seahawks fan.
Yeah. Well, I was.
If you're a Patriots fan, it's not disappointing.
I was going to say I was, but I guess I still am. Anyway, we still have wet roads out there, so be a little extra careful this morning and allow yourself a couple extra minutes. 40 eastbound, slow in spots between 54 and 55. Northbound Fordham Boulevard still a little crowded as you approach Mason Farm Road. And an accident clearing 54 at 55, and northbound Durham Freeway still seeing some brake lights showing up between Alexander Drive and Austin Avenue. If you see anything while traveling, you could be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Thank you very much for that illuminating observation.
You're very welcome.
Glass half full. Hey, listen, we'll listen for your news updates throughout the day at the bottom of the hour.
You got it.
And we'll see you here tomorrow morning.
Most definitely.
I guess. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Online at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you this morning by Cruisers. It is 54 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, and temperature's not going to change very much all day. We have a wind advisory. It goes into effect at noon today and will last till 7 o'clock tonight. Our high today, about 57 or 58. Then the temperatures will start to go down in the afternoon.